I just felt like it was a little bit of a kick in the balls, to be honest.
It came a lot sooner than I thought that I would be the oldest player on the team.
That's all you got, brother. That's all you got.
The word of the day would have been hyper-realism.
We're bad at soccer, but we're good on a bagel.
Holding the high line with Rabbi and Red, talking the rapids and turning heads, with questions from you and analysis. In your car, in your home, thank you for tuning to Holding the High Line.
Hello, Rapids fans. You are listening to Holding the High Line with Rabbi in Red. My name is Matt Pollard. It is Tuesday, January 21st, 2025. Happy belated Martin Luther King Jr. Day to everyone out there. Rabbi and I were not planning on podcasting this week. One preseason friendly down in Mexico against the second division team does not warrant a 1 hour long podcast. So it's just me tonight, and it'll be a bit of a shotgun briefer show. I've had a couple of preseason interviews with some of the players down in Mexico, so I'll feature three of those in the back half of the podcast. But I did want to touch briefly on that preseason game, and there was also some MLS media news late in the day today that I thought was worth touching on just very, very briefly. So we'll get through all of that. We'll start with the friendly against Celaya FC, which ended 2-2 with Celaya scoring first and then the Rapids scoring two goals and then Celaya equalizing in the final minutes of the game. I did not watch this game. This game was not streamed somewhere on Apple TV or on the club channels or anything. So we've got about a 15-second clip of the Basset Hounds combining to score the second goal. But I do think we can glean some stuff from the lineup that the club put out. It was a hybrid lineup for the first half and then virtually a line change at halftime for another hybrid lineup in the second half. So a mix of veterans, a mix of guys who are clearly going to be starters for the first team. Some are two guys, some academy kids who were brought along for preseason, so it was nice to see Chris Armas mixing and matching and experimenting given how early it was in preseason. I liked the center back pairing in both of those halves. One half you had Andreas Maxu and Ian Murphy, who's the younger player from the FC Cincinnati trade, and then in the other half you had Chido Waziam, the other former FC Cincinnati center back, and Michael Edwards. So you had a nice mix of a veteran guy and a young kid. You had one player who was with the team last year, one player who's new to the team. And I think it was very clear by the lineup that was put out that both of the halves were mostly, the team was mostly in the 4-2-3-1 formation and not in the 3-4-3. And you also had two players paired together at the center back position who would not have played together. So you could have done Andreas Maxu and Michael Edwards, who would have played together and trained together last year with the Rapids. And then you could have had Ian Murphy and Chido Waziam, who would have played together last year, albeit on FC Cincinnati. So you were also mixing and matching what is the pairing like for center backs who don't have a familiarity with each other. So that was nice to see. No other things to really write home about other than, I think, the goal scores. So you had Josh Copeland, the R2 signee, who was a second-round pick in the Super Draft last month. He was out of the University of Detroit Mercy. Bit of a dark horse pick for the Rapids. I don't think he was on anybody else's board, or at least not that high in the second round for any of the other MLS teams. But the Rapids really like him and think that he's a bit of a project for Eric Boucher, so it was nice to see him get off to a good start, scoring a goal at the back post, a setup by Rafael Navajo, so that was good to see. And then Cole and Sam Bassett, who prior to Sunday had not played a single competitive club game together, and it took them all of one game for them to combine with Sam scoring, being set up by Cole Bassett. So that was really nice to see. Again, preseason game, second division Mexican team. We don't have a lot of film to go off of. I can't read anything else into it. The only other big absences you would have had were the goalkeepers who were with their respective national teams. At time of recording, Adam Beaudry has returned to Rapids preseason in Querétaro, and Zach Steffen is still with the national team, the senior national team. As far as I know, they'll be playing on Wednesday this week against Costa Rica, and then presumably by the Sunday friendly that the Rapids have, their second friendly against Querétaro of Liga MX. I assume Zach will be in town and will have trained with the team south of the border there. The only other big absence would have been Georgi Mihailovic, who is still recovering from that ankle injury and is probably still a week, maybe a couple days at the least away from returning to full training. I wouldn't be shocked if he's available and plays 20 minutes off the bench for the game on Sunday. I also wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him actually get proper preseason minutes until that third game down in Mexico, third and final game, or until the team gets to Orlando and is playing domestic competition. So I think that does it for main preseason talk. No other big rumors to talk about for the Rapids in the January primary transfer window. And there's been a few other moves in terms of draft picks signing our two deals and then joining the team in preseason. But I don't think that's anything to write home about just yet. The next thing that I want to touch on is that earlier today, Extra Time Radio, the official podcast of MLSsoccer.com, released an episode and said that it was their final show. They had been off for since before the holiday break, and it's not unusual for them to return in the second half of the month of January, but usually they're back once there's news and rumors and a bunch of things in preseason to talk about and everything. So that's over. For those of you who don't know, this would have been the podcast with Andrew Wiebe, who I'm sure you've seen on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, and Matt Doyle, who we had as a guest on this podcast a year or two ago, and someone who Rabbi Mark Goodman and I respect a whole lot. And a lot of what we are is us attempting to be what Matt Doyle is at MLSsoccer.com, from a tactics and an understanding and a breaking down of what's going on the field. This is really sad for me. I'd say Extra Time was very much a gateway drug podcast for me in terms of getting more informed on the league, being interested in doing media around MLS, and ultimately what I'm doing now with Burgundy Wave and with HTHL. And it definitely filled a need. You know, I would argue Total Soccer Show does usually one episode a week specifically focused on MLS, but they kind of touch on a bunch of different things and have specific formats depending on what day of the week the show that they're recording is. And then Soccer-wise, increasingly, is doing stuff, but they're 3 days a week, and it's David Goss, who used to be a host on Extra Time, Tom Bogert, who you know, formerly of The Athletic, now with Give Me Sports, and Jordan Angeli, who you all know from a Rapids context. So Soccer-wise talks about a bunch of different things because it's Bogert. They obviously do a lot of breaking news, and that focuses kind of around MLS, but not specifically on MLS. And then with Jordan Angeli on there, they also talk a fair bit of WOSO and a fair bit of national team. They do talk MLS. I would say that's probably the league they talk about the most. But where Extra Time was really specific was they were an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and a half talking specifically MLS twice a week. And in a league that is increasingly growing and getting too large for one person to fully understand, it was the one-stop shop for, I'm a fan of my team and my market, and I'm curious about the rest of the league. Educate me in 2.5 to 3 hours a week about the league generally, so that if I'm tuning into a game at another time zone, I have some understanding of how those other teams are doing, or what they're doing tactically, or what players I should be aware of, or who's on really good form, or what that interesting story is. And without that, I don't know that there's somebody specifically who fills that void. And where I'm particularly confused and disappointed in whoever made this decision, I presumably this is someone higher up on the org chart. So, you know, Andrew Wiebe's boss's boss is probably somebody making, you know, a marketing or a financial decision that here we have these media personalities who are paid on salary here at MLS, and the podcast takes them, you know, they do it so often and it takes them so many hours. Could we allocate that time, money, resources to something else? There's going to be less storytelling around the league. It's going to be harder for the sickos and for relatively new MLS fans who are trying to get educated, and for media of specific markets to be educated without that kind of content. And the podcast was also always free and always readily available on your podcatcher of choice on the RSS feed. And so I wonder, are Wiebe and Doyle going to be allocated to doing other stuff within the MLS ecosystem? And is some or all of that going to be behind the Apple TV paywall? And if so, that makes their content, even if it's good, even if it provides what, in a different format, what ETR was doing, I think that makes it less accessible or less welcoming from that standpoint. And so I'm befuddled by this amongst other decisions that the league has made, and it just increasingly, how is this not a signal? You know, if an MLS executive is saying that it's not worth us to have people who are on payroll doing a podcast that comprehensively covers the league, and nobody else is really doing it or doing it the frequency, at the quality, and with the level of understanding, because they can't make any money off of it, like, what does that say? And so this is another signal. This is a signaling one of two things to me. Either that MLS is increasingly almost like had a private equity-ification of it in terms of sucking out its soul, and I think what brought joy to it, or that this is purely a financial decision, and so ETR wasn't bringing in new fans or growing an audience that warranted having the various sponsors brought up, Continental Tire, Audi, whomever else. And so this is another signal to me that either the MLS suits don't understand their audience and how you grow and develop a league, or it's just another indication that the audience is not as big as MLS wants you to think it is, or isn't big enough to the point where it's self-sustaining given the other metrics that Mark and I have talked about. So I'm sad because it's a podcast that I liked. I still miss March to the Match, and it's one that I think made me a better podcaster, a better fan, a more informed person. And now that stuff is gone, and I don't know that somebody else is filling that void. Maybe SoccerWise goes to 4 days a week, for example, and they have specifically an MLS show. But there's a big void now in the MLS podcasting, MLS content space, and it's not obvious to me that somebody's filling it. And the fact that that outlet was functionally paid for by the league, and even they thought it wasn't worth investing in, is a bit of a canary in the coal mine for me. So now I'm going to have to do a bit more work and a bit more research every single week to better understand the opponent that the Rapids are playing on Saturday night, and to better understand the league as a whole in order to keep up with that, both from a Rapids standpoint and just being an MLS sicko standpoint. And one thing that would really help that research be less anxious and a little bit more focused is Magic Mind. January is National Mental Wellness Month. Longtime listeners will have heard me talk about my struggles with my mental wellness and some really, really dark, difficult times for me in my life. And the one thing that we've learned about mental health is that it's something that you can't take care of on your own. It's something you need to talk about, and it's something that you need to be proactive in making better and in maintaining. And this comes in a number of different forms. This includes making sure that your sleep, your diet, exercise, managing your stress, getting medication, going to therapy, etc., are taken care of, and talking about it, of course, as well. And if you don't do those things, they can really build up. And if you aren't doing that work, then it can accumulate and it can become really, really harmful. Magic Mind helps support these mental health pillars, especially your stress and your sleep. Mark and I have been taking them for several months now, and the results really speak for themselves. We feel better, we podcast better, we work better, including doing our research for this podcast. They just launched their first ever 24-hour pack. This includes their focus shots for the middle of the day and their sleep shots for right before bed. See the link in the show notes. That'll get you 45% off a first-time order. There's a lot going on in the world right now that can be stressful, and so if you want some help with that, or if you want some help with focusing on the micro things of what's going on in your life specifically, Magic Mind can help you with that. They donate 5 cents for every bottle sold to mental health charities. They've been partnered with us for several months now. They're a great product and they're a great company for us to work with. And we think they'd probably help some of you get slightly better focus and slightly better sleep in your life. Join us in being more mentally well in the month of January with Magic Mind. Listeners, we'll move on. I've got 3 interviews for you that I would have done in preseason. The first will feature Ian Murphy, new center back signing, who was a part of that trade with FC Cincinnati. I should point out that this got rescheduled a little bit last minute, so you will hear Braden Nurse from the Denver Post is a little bit late. That's not his fault. Like, please don't dunk on him. He had valid reasons for being late given the way that the scheduling happened, but he eventually joins, and we have some really good conversations with Ian Murphy, so you can get to know him a little bit better. And then the second 2 interviews will feature Alex Harris, who is the Generation Adidas pick. number 4 overall in this past year's Super Draft. He comes out of Cornell. He's got a really good friend, Connor Miller, who's a part of the Rapids Development Academy, and so you can get to know him a little bit better and his background and what he could bring as a player. And then a bit more of a pet project. I was really, really intrigued by the acquisition of Charlie Harper, who was a later round pick by the Rapids this past year, center back out of UNC. He's a triple international as someone who's carrying an England, Australia, and Japanese passport. And so I just wanted to talk to him about his background, his views on the game, and maybe some of the things that he was interested in. So if you want a little bit of an Australian accent, some talk on Sydney FC and stuff like that, Charlie Harper was a really interesting person to get to know, who will be with Rapids 2 this year. I think he's one of several players whom the Rapids have picked up in the Super Draft and signed to a Rapids 2 contract for 2025 that's going to make that program interesting and more fun to watch and worth paying attention to. So without further ado, in this order, here are conversations from preseason down in Mexico with center back Ian Murphy, Generation Adidas forward Alex Harris, and Rapids 2 center back Charlie Harper. Well, I have you, Ian. Do you remember, were you there when there was a comms person at Cincinnati whose name was Chris Wondolowski? Does that name ring a bell for you? And not no. Wando the striker for San Jose.
Yeah, I know. I figured that's who you weren't talking about that. No, I don't think I was there when he was there.
Okay. He would have been there, I think, a number of years, maybe since his first year in the league. And I remember having a nice chuckle with that. One of Kinsey's predecessors was named Omar Gonzalez, no relation to the USMNT, LA Galaxy, Toronto. I think Omar's still in New England. I can't remember. And so I remember this would have been during the bubble tournament in 2020. Once they were all settled, like, they got a selfie together and just had a nice laugh about it, because apparently one of them got the other one's food when they were ordering stuff inside the bubble. We can go ahead and get started now that we basically know each other, Ian. Ian, let's start with did the trade surprise you at all?
I was more so surprised by how fast it was, but not necessarily that the trade happened. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Were you happy in Cincinnati? Was there any interest in leaving, or?
I mean, Cincinnati was great for me. Obviously, that's where I started off. That's where I got drafted, and they gave me my first opportunity. I know it's tough for draft picks to like continue their career in the league. It's tough to get a second contract, and they gave me that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thankful for that. But I'm happy to be here. I kind of got wind a little bit. One of my old teammates had texted me and said that Colorado was potentially interested, and I was intrigued by it. So.
Mm-hmm. Was that former teammate by chance Calvin Harris?
No.
Okay. I won't ask if he's a current Rapids player. So on that note, Ian, you know, you come in 2022, I think, was the tough year. And then you were playing consistently for a team that was growing, won a supporters shield, and I think had a chance at winning MLS Cup this past year that just ended, and the year before. What do you attribute to being one of the draft picked center backs and being able to jump in and contribute so much to a team that was so successful?
Yeah, I think part of it was me being fortunate and being able to make the most of the opportunity that I got. And I think it was just a great experience to be able to play in so many games for them, so many playoff games and meaningful games like that. Obviously, winning the Supporters Shield was amazing there. And yeah, I feel like I'm able to bring a lot of experience here, and I'm happy about that.
Yeah. Playoffs is something this club has struggled with. Colorado has struggled with, I would say, at least historically. And then obviously last year, I mean, you know, injuries and such, and going up against LA Galaxy, you ended up winning. It was one thing. What's something that you can take away from your playoff experience from Cincinnati that you think would be of value? Or what about your playoff experience was different from regular season games?
I think just the intensity ratcheting up in the playoffs, I think that's the biggest thing. And I think that at Cincinnati, we did a good job of trying to keep the intensity high. I mean, it's a 34 game season. And so it's hard, especially when Wednesday, Saturday starts, to have like be up for it and be ready for every game. And so I think that it's important to try and as best you can keep that intensity high every match, so you're ready for when the playoffs come.
You know Cheeto better than anybody else on this team. Tell me a little bit about him. Tell me something that nobody else on the team might know just yet.
I think people started to figure it out, but he speaks like 8 languages.
Okay. What are some of the 8? Can you name all the 8 languages?
It might be more than 8. I don't know. I can't even get into it. Spanish, French, bunch of stuff.
Okay, good stuff. What's he like as a teammate? What can Rapids fans expect from him energy-wise?
I think that for me, being a center back especially, I think Cheeto really helped me when he came to Cincinnati. Just having so much experience and just calmness about him, like even during the game talking to me. I think it's easy to play with him. He's obviously a great player and he helps you out just on the field and just talking to you as well.
Mm-hmm. What's one thing that you thought you improved upon this past year, style of play or just, you know, in your game wise, what got better in 24?
I'd probably say composure on the ball. I think that's the toughest thing that was for me coming from college to the MLS was, you know, players are faster, smarter and everything. And when they're coming at you, it took me a while to just get used to it. And I feel like last year, I mean, I made a couple, I would say a little bit of a stride in my second year, but last year I really feel like I started to get a better grasp of it.
Yeah. Speaking of college, you got a fellow Duke Blue Devil and Wayne Frederick on the team. You guys had any banter? And what are you looking at for the team for March Madness?
I mean, Cooper Flagg is looking crazy right now, mm-hmm. So I think they have a great chance. But yeah, it's great to have Wayne here. I wasn't there when he was there, but I've heard a lot about him. My buddies at State at school have told me great things about him.
What do they say about him?
He's just a funny guy and just a lot of stories about him that I've heard.
Mm-hmm. I would say he's very, at least the thing that stood out to me was just like saucy on the ball. He's got a lot of flair with that when the ball is on his foot. And that's something that I think he improved upon this past year with Rapids too. Are you making friends on the team? I feel like it's a very welcoming and cohesive group, but who stands out or who are you eating meals with right now?
I think Michael Edwards is probably the funniest guy on the team. And so I've been spending a lot of time with him. But I think that honestly, like, it's a bit different from Cincy because I feel like everyone is more the same age. And so it's easier to talk to everyone. And I don't know. It's been really easy to come into.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. What else do I have? What have been your first impressions with Chris Armas? What's he been like for you?
I'd say I really like about him is I feel like he's really hands-on and he's easy to talk to. He coaches you in a way that's not, you know, he's not belittling you and he's trying to help you. And I feel like it's okay to like try stuff and practice and you won't get, you know, in trouble for making the wrong decision, but it's what practice is for. And so I like that.
Mm-hmm. You would have played against Colorado a few different times when you were with Cincinnati. Who do you remember playing against who you're happy to have as a teammate rather than as an opponent now?
I think both times I played against Colorado, I was going against Calvin.
Mm.
And he is very fast and very good on the ball. And so I'm happy that I won't have to be dealing with that anymore.
Yeah. Kinsey, I'm not sure if you just saw, but Brayden said that he'd be joining. So I don't know if turning the screen back towards you is adding him.
Yeah, no, I saw he hasn't joined yet.
Okay. Let's see.
Oh, I think there that he is. Was... Oh. Here he comes. Brayden.
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Good.
Good, good. Ian, good to see you. I'm Brayden.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
We'd kind of already gotten started, Brayden, so I'll let you go ahead with your questions.
Okay, sounds good. I'm sure you've probably been asked probably all of these. but Ian, I'm curious. Obviously, it doesn't happen much that two players are moved from one team to the next. Just how easy has that made the transition, just having Cheeto with you?
Yeah, I think I was really excited when I saw that. I mean, yeah, I was excited when I saw that I got to have him with me. Yeah, it's made it a whole lot easier just having that familiarity there.
What's it been like reconnecting with Calvin?
Yeah, it's good. It's crazy that I played my first year with him, and he reached out immediately to me when he saw the news, and so that was good. It's been good catching up with him.
How's his game different now than it was a few years ago? That you've seen so far. I know it's been
A long time. I would honestly say I always thought he was a good player, and like his dribbling and the way he keeps the ball with him, technically I thought he was always really good and always impressed me, but I think it's even better, and he has that with his speed, and I think it's a really dangerous thing to have. So
how's it been like these first few days of camp connecting with guys like, you know, Andreas, Captain Keegan, Sam, some of the guys who have been here for a while and have been the anchors of this back line?
Yeah, it's good. It's a really welcoming group, and they've really helped me out both on and off the field, and they made it really easy for me.
Ian, I know there's been at least the formation mainly last year was the 4-2-3-1, and then Chris Armas experimented in a little bit with the 3-4-3. I don't know how much, I know you guys have a game tomorrow, so how much tactics have you had to look at that? What do you see that's different between the two formations?
Yeah, obviously we got right into it when we got here. We just jumped straight in. I came from a 3-back last year that I was playing for probably the majority of the past 2 years. I played in the back 4 a little bit my first year. Honestly, I feel comfortable in both. I think it's good. And I've just enjoyed their style of play and getting acclimated to that.
Have you gotten to spend much time with Chris Sharp yet on the set pieces?
Yeah, he was whipping in some balls for me today after training. I scored a couple, so that's good.
Okay.
What have you made of his creativity? And obviously he's known as one of the better set piece coaches around.
Yeah, I mean, just already, I know he has a huge folder, he said, coming for me about set pieces. And so I'm looking forward to getting into that. And I think set pieces are a huge part of the game. And so, yeah, I think it's good that we're focusing in on that. I'm looking forward to it.
Go ahead, Braden. I think we covered everything I wanted to touch on. But I've been recording it, so I'll send you that audio. You can use the quotes if you want.
Yeah, sounds good. I think I'm good too. Okay. Honestly.
Ian, thank you so much for your time. Good luck tomorrow. And we'll see you in a couple weeks back here in Colorado.
Sounds good. Thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Good to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Alex.
Hey, Alex, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
Good. How are you?
My name is Matt Pollard, Alex. I'm the managing editor of Burgundy Wave. If you were paying attention at all to Timbers coverage, Stumptown Footy would be a similar parallel to what we try to do. And then I also have a podcast, Holding the High Line. I'll let Braden introduce himself as well.
Yeah, I'm Braden Nurse. I'm the Rapids / soccer reporter at the Denver Post. I'm not as cool / workhorsey as Matt, but we're here anyway.
Awesome. Alex, let's start with what have been your initial impressions, you know, of just let's start with the professional game, your teammates, coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, the professional game is definitely very different from college. It's been a big step up, but I think the teammates and the coaches have been a very helpful hand and resource and, you know, have able to sort of guide me and help me through the transition.
Has there been anything about the past week or so that is maybe different or challenging than what you might have expected?
I would say, I mean, definitely the altitude. The altitude is definitely real. And, you know, coming from New York and Vancouver, Washington, something that I haven't really ever experienced before. But, I mean, as from a soccer standpoint, I would say the biggest difference is the speed of play and also the speed of, you know, how fast I have to think about things and, you know, process the game. So those have been the biggest changes for me.
Alex, what prompted the decision to become a GA player and start your professional career?
I mean, the GA thing wasn't really up to me. I was selected as one of the the players in the Generation Adidas class. But I mean, coming out of my freshman year, I had a good freshman season at Cornell. And I mean, I knew there was definitely going to be a possibility that I went pro eventually and maybe even the next year. But then after having another really good season sophomore year and playing well at the combine, that's when, you know, things really started to set in and I figured out and realized that becoming a professional was, you know, going to happen and did happen.
Are you still working on the engineering degree?
I unfortunately can't. There's no online classes at Cornell, but I mean, I hope to continue my education in some way. I don't know. I don't know exactly how yet, but hopefully.
Go ahead, Raymond. Go ahead.
We always do this. Support told us after the draft that, you know, he loves your nose for goal and how you can make defenses kind of uncomfortable the way you position yourself. I think, Matt, if you remember, I think the term he used was you're a little menace. So I'm curious. Take me through the hat trick against Dartmouth. I thought that was kind of a preview of things that you can bring to the table. Just how was that a special moment for you and kind of a preview for fans?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a special game where I was able to showcase a lot of my goal scoring ability. I mean, I think it mainly just comes down to, you know, positioning on the back line. And, you know, if you have teammates that are able to find you, always looking vertical and, you know, threatening in behind, and with my speed and such, I'm able to, you know, break lines at pace and usually get in behind defenders. And I think I was able to do that a couple times against Dartmouth, as well as show, you know, my composure in the box when one of my goals was from outside the box, you know, got it at my feet and was able to, you know, hit a good right footed shot into the corner. So I think that performance was, you know, a good all around representation of my game and, you know, what I can bring to the Colorado Rapids.
Alex, you made any friends in camp? You know, who are you sitting with when you guys are having team meals?
Yeah, I mean, I've made friends with all the rookies, obviously, because, you know, sort of we're the new guys on the block, you know, and as well as a lot of the second and third year guys. I mean, Wayne Frederick, Kamani, Michael Edwards, they've all been super welcoming and, you know, supportive of me and all the other rookies and just have been able to integrate us very well.
What have your conversations with Chris been like so far?
Yeah, I mean, there's been some soccer communication between us, but I mean, a lot of it is just, you know, prepping me for the pro game and the differences that I might face, challenges I might face and whatnot. And along with that, as well as, you know, preparing me for the style of play that the Rapids play and how they see me fitting into their system.
I know it's been a pretty short time so far, but can you speak about the culture that you've walked into? How is it maybe different than what you've experienced in the past? I know Chris is a big culture guy.
Yeah, I mean, the culture is definitely at the forefront of everything that the Rapids do, and I've noticed that and been a huge fan of that in my short time here. I mean, I think the best way to sum it up is we walked into preseason, and the first thing that we heard was team first. And so I think that's just, you know, the culture and the motto that everyone here goes by. And, you know, it really shows, and there's a super supportive and developmental environment for everybody. And I think that's going to breed good results in the future.
Alex, you have a Rapids DA graduate who is one of your Cornell teammates in Connor Miller. What can you tell me about Connor, and did he have to sell you on getting picked by the Rapids?
I mean, he had no idea. I honestly didn't have much. I knew there were a couple teams that were interested in me, but I didn't really know where I was going into the draft. But yeah, I mean, Connor's a great guy, one of my best friends at Cornell, a super good player as well. So, I mean, I'm excited to see where the future takes him and what soccer has in store for him in the future. Because, I mean, I think he definitely has the ability and you know, just he's definitely able to be a pro player one day. So excited to see where that goes with him.
What did he text you when you guys found out that you were going to Colorado?
Well, he just texted me, "Welcome home," basically. He was like, I mean, he was super happy for me to be joining him in Colorado. And yeah, I mean, he's always been super supportive of me, and I've been super supportive of him. So, I mean, we were both just happy that it worked out that way.
Great.
Alex, what made you go with number 21?
I like the number, and a lot of my former teammates that I've been super good friends with were all 21, and so I thought it'd just be a good way to, you know, sort of honor them, and, you know, just I thought it was a good number, and out of the options that I had, it was the best option for me. Mm-hmm.
Alex, Rapids fans were hoping for a Snow Classico against LAFC, you know, playing Cornell and then also growing up in Washington. I have to imagine a lot of rain games, maybe some cold games, maybe some snow. How adept to weather are you? And what's the craziest weather that you've played in your entire career?
I mean, yeah, I've definitely seen a lot of different weather things coming from, you know, the rain of the Northwest and the snow of the Northeast. But as for craziest weather games, I would say maybe, I mean, we played through, I don't know, I'd probably just say like a torrential downpour. I don't know if it was like classified as like a extreme weather, like hurricane or anything like that. But I mean, back in Washington, we used to play through some heavy rain. So I would say that.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. I only had one thing, unless you had something else, Braden.
I got one more thing.
Go for it.
Alex, I know you're a big basketball guy. Who's your team? And if you were 6'6", what position are you playing?
Definitely a big basketball guy. I actually have been a lifelong Nuggets fan. I was a big Carmelo guy back in the day. I was actually the only other time before this that I've been in Denver was for game one of the finals when they were in the finals.
Okay, let's go.
Not even kidding. I was there too.
Okay. Really, you just made a whole bunch of Rapids fans right now, Alex. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, lifelong Nuggets fans. So ironically, how that turned out.
Mm-hmm. All the local guys, all the Colorado kids are probably Nuggets fans, certainly. And then I don't know how much I know Rafael Navajo's English has gotten better. I don't know if it's talking hoops good enough yet, but I know he was really, really excited coming to MLS with some of the NBA games that he was going to be able to watch. So he was rooting for them. So you've got a lot of guys to go watch the Nuggets play when they're in the playoffs, hopefully in June.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that.
Yeah. What are your goals for the season, Alex? I know it's early, but you want to be on the first team? Would you be down banging in a bunch of goals playing with the second team? What's that look like?
I mean, as for my goals, I would hope to be making an impact on the first team, you know, playing important minutes, you know, contributing in whatever way that may be that the coach sees fit. But I mean, I'm an adaptable person. So, I mean, whatever situation I'm thrown in, I'm going to, you know, do my best and hopefully evolve my game and be able to improve mm-hmm. rapidly.
We talked basketball. Alex, were you a Timbers fan growing up?
I was a Timbers fan, yes.
Okay. How many of those games you go out to? You sit in the Timbers Army ever?
I was in the Timbers Army a couple times. I don't know. I'd say maybe 10, 15 games throughout my childhood.
Okay. Did you have a favorite Timbers player, or is there a European club that you were watching as well?
I don't know if I'd say I necessarily had a – I mean, I was always a big Valeri guy, but as all the Timbers fans were. But yeah, I've been a Barcelona fan my whole life, so that's my European club.
Okay, well, maybe you'll get to see Messi at some point. The Rabbits played him last year, not in the regular season, but we'll see. That's all I got. Alex, thank you so much for your time. Kinsey, thank you so much for setting this up.
Yeah.
Yep, thank you both. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you guys so much.
Good luck with preseason, Alex. We'll meet you in real life soon.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Hi, Charlie. My name's Matt Pollard. I'm the managing editor of a website called Burgundy Wave, which covers the club and Colorado soccer as a whole. I also have a podcast called Holding the High Line. Ask some of your first team teammates about me, and hopefully they'll say one or two good things about me. I want to start with your background. The Rapids have had dual internationals before. I don't know that we've ever had a triple international. How do you have an English, a Japanese, and an Australian passport?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, so my dad's, he was born in Birmingham, England,
And his side of the family comes from a really rich English background, just generations and generations. And then my mom is fully Japanese, Osaka, Japan. And then they met in Australia, and I was born in Sydney, Australia. So,
okay, good stuff. If those three teams are playing at the World Cup, who are you rooting for?
Always Australia. It's
always Australia. Okay. Grassroots then. Socceroos. Who's your favorite Australian national team player, past or present?
Oh, I mean, Tim Cahill was such an inspiration. I mean, I started out as a center forward just because of him. And obviously, I transitioned to a center back. But he's a hero in my family. So,
okay, good stuff. Do you have a club team in Australia or in Japan that you follow as well?
I mean, Sydney FC is one that I kind of follow closely. In Japan, I think FC Tokyo is one of them as well. But I'd say really, I mean, my favorite team is Manchester City. So,
okay, is Man City your dad's club, even though he's from Birmingham?
No, he's Aston Villa.
Okay, Aston Villa. Okay, who do you like on Manchester City?
I mean, I really like Foden. I know he's mm-hmm. not in my position, but yeah. I've always been a big fan of him. So,
is there a center back, Australia national teamer playing in Australia, playing in Japan, playing in England that you'd say you model your game after, or you see some of yourself in them?
I mean, I'd like to say, I mean, I know he's been injured for a while. John Stones is okay. A player that I try to copy my game around his. He's very composed and also very attacking, and he's very good in the air as well. So I'd say I'd like to be like him.
Okay, good stuff. If you're John Stones for Rapids 2 this year, I think they're going to be in good hands. What went into the decision to come out of school and join the club at the MLS Next Pro level?
Well, I think I had a really solid year at UNC. I have two more years of eligibility, but I just thought that there were diminishing returns to playing in college. I thought that if I really wanted to develop more, it was best that I leave college and start my career at the age of 21. So,
mm-hmm. Who was the main person who you talked to at the club in terms of like making that decision and thinking about it?
Well, at the MLS Combine, I spoke to most of the coaches, and the energy I felt from Chris and just his how optimistic he was about me joining the team really inspired me and my family to make the decision to leave, I think.
Okay, good stuff. What have your initial, beyond the Combine, what have your interactions with either Eric Boucher or Chris Armas been like so far?
I mean, they're just really friendly guys. Like they're super down to earth. Every time I talk to them, sometimes I almost mistake them as a friend just because of how friendly they are. So,
okay. Are you making friends in preseason? Who are you hanging out with, having lunch with?
I mean, I'd say, I mean, we have a pretty young squad overall, and they've all been super welcoming. Players like Jackson, Connor, and obviously Matthew Sinanu, who I knew from UNC. It's been good to catch up with him.
Okay. You knew him from, did he go to UNC? I thought he was Xavier.
Yeah, he actually, in my freshman year, he was a sophomore at UNC. He did 2 years at UNC and then transferred to Xavier.
Okay. What's he like as a player? What should fans going to a Rapids 2 game look out for him and his style of play?
Big aerial presence, both footed, and really, really good long balls, I'd say.
Okay. You mentioned the club's still relatively young, but for some of the older guys, I know you mentioned Connor. Has anybody kind of taken you under their wing? Any mentorship going on?
Well, I mean, I'd say Connor really, I mean, even in practice today, I've only trained 3 times, but I've happened to be on his team a few times, and he's really kind of coached me through. I think Michael as well, another center back, he's been super uplifting. Even if it's the smallest plays, I think he's always saying good stuff to me, so I appreciate that.
Okay, good stuff. How are you liking the altitude?
Oh, it's tough. It's tough. I mean, I've never played in something like this before. But I was just speaking with her that I felt today that I'm getting used to it. It's I feel like my recovery is getting better. So,
What would you say is the the biggest thing that you improved on the field in 2024 at UNC?
Honestly, there's a lot of plays and skills I'd like to mention, but I'd like to say my leadership has really developed this year. I think in my sophomore year, I was more occupied on my own plays, but I think this past season, I was able to control others around me and then take a leadership role for the team.
Mm-hmm. How much, because I know the fall schedule can be really busy with games and everything. How much of MLS have you watched? How much familiarity did you have with the league knowing that you were going to be draft eligible?
I mean, I'd say in 2024, I really started to look into teams and really aspire to join the league. It was difficult, definitely, with college. I think during the fall season, most college players are watching other college teams play to kind of prepare. But I always have had an interest in the MLS. So,
mm-hmm. Do you mostly watch East Coast games? A lot of Charlotte FC, I have to imagine.
I mean, it's funny, obviously, Charlotte FC because of North Carolina, but I actually live with a player from Colorado Rapids Academy. So we actually watched a few of their games.
Okay. Who's the Rapids kid who's at UNC? I'm not remembering his name.
Andrew Cortez.
Okay. Good stuff. Yeah. What did he, as soon as you got drafted, what did he have to say about the club or how excited was he for you?
Oh, yeah. He was the first one who called me. First thing he said was, I mean, I'll help you look into apartments. And he started listing all these coaches and their names. And I couldn't remember all of them at the time. But I remember he specifically talked about Sharpie, the goalkeeper coach. He was like, these guys are great guys. And he was saying that I couldn't have joined a better club. So,
yeah, get ready, Charlie. There's going to be a big, thick book of set-piece plays and a lot of stuff that Sharpie's going to have you working on that. So get ready to have to study up on that. One more kind of background question. So when you go home, I mean, is it sushi? Is it Australian cuisine? Is it a little bit of everything? You go home for the holidays, what's mom cooking up?
Honestly, Japanese rice is probably my favorite food.
Okay.
It's only a difference I think I can notice. But it's very different. I mean, and then my dad usually likes to buy Tim Tams. They're kind of a, you know what they are.
Right? I know what Tim Tams are, yes.
So yeah, I mean, I guess the answer is I have both. I mean, sushi is obviously there as well. So it's a mixture of Australia and Japan, I think.
Mm-hmm. Your accent isn't as thick, or granted, I'm an American who's maybe thinking of the stereotype of Crocodile Dundee or maybe even the Crocodile Hunter, but it seems less pronounced than, say, Sharpie or some of the other. There was an Australian fullback a number of years ago for the Rapids as well. I mean, would you say that living and going to school in the U.S., your accent's kind of become a hodgepodge of your backgrounds?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, every person I have talked to you, I said that.
Okay.
And I just think I got Americanized by my teammates. And there's just terms that I was saying in my accent that they couldn't pick up. So I had to make the adjustment. So.
Okay. Well, what were some of the things they were saying that they were struggling with?
Well, the big one is, so I used to say can't instead of can't.
Okay.
I can't think of a few others, but that was a big one. And, you know, they'd always mock me, be like, can't. So I had to make that change.
Okay. What would you say, style of play? Like, what are you particularly good at as a center back? Or what are you looking to work on in 2025?
I think in terms of defensively, I like to back myself in a foot race and an aerial duel. But I would definitely like to improve my game offensively, kind of those balls to the center forward and the long balls over the top. So, and getting used to the pro tempo, I think.
Mm-hmm. Charlie, thank you so much for your time. I'll see you in a couple of weeks when you guys are back in Colorado. And I look forward to watching you play this year.
Yeah, thank you very much, man.
Thank you.